similar to what we're going to be talking about today. But first, I would like to ask a quick prayer request for, are we having a fit over there? It's just my, thank you. Your thumb body. Have a word of prayer for Sherry. This is Wendy's neighbor who's going through a difficult time. The Lord knows the situation. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can lift up people to you, and you know Sherry's situation. We don't really know. And Father, I pray that you would move in her life and use Jeff and Wendy to influence her. Father, open doors of opportunity, but Lord, I pray that you would meet her need and let her know that you are real. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, so we're still popping. I tell you what, let's change batteries real quick. In my heartbeat. What else am I supposed to do today? Oh, preach, okay. It's good to see you today. Nice to have our visitors with us. Good to have you. Today I'm going to begin with a question as I normally do. It gets our minds going. And here's the question. Is Jesus really all that important to you?
Absolutely.
Be careful because I'm setting you up, okay? Is he really all that important to you? And are you as close to Jesus as you ought to be or you want to be? I want you to think about that a little while. Now, we know that the best example of following the Lord Jesus Christ was the Apostle Paul. We just sang a song that was written around something that he said. He said, "For I am crucified with Christ, and now it's no longer I that lives, but Christ lives in me." And when we hear that, we say, "All right, we can sing that song, and hey, you know, I'm doing all right with that." But then Paul says this, "Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ." Then listen to this one. "For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things." Notice what he said. I have suffered. Not that I'm willing to suffer, but I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. And when we think about that phrase, we wonder, I'm not sure about that. Well, what is all things? Jobs? Notoriety? Possessions? Hobbies? Ministry? And dare I say, family? Would we suffer the loss of all things to know Christ the way we should? Now we're going to talk about that in a few minutes, but first I want to play a song for you from Casting Crown that kind of lays a foundation about exalting Christ appropriately.
Make it count, leave a mark, build a name for yourself. Dream your dreams, chase your heart above all else. Make a name the world remembers. But all an empty world can sell is empty dreams. I got lost in the lie that it was up to me to make a name the world remembers. But Jesus is the only name to remember. And I don't care if they remember me. Oh. said and done was all that really mattered. Did I live the truth to the ones I love? Was my life the proof that there is only one whose name will last forever? And
I've only got one life to live. I'll live every second, point to Him, only Jesus. Is that what people see when they see your life? Boy, I tell you what, as we go through this, I just want you to know I've been fighting this and struggling with it all week long, okay? Because I really do want to get to the point. If you're a Christian today, how many saved and going to heaven? You know that. Well, praise the Lord. Isn't that exciting? Somebody say praise the Lord for that. That's nice to be able to know that. It's comforting. However, because He's done so much for us, how much are we willing to give to Him? And that's the question that I've been asking myself all week. Well, what is it that keeps us from giving our all? Anybody tell me real quickly?
Pride.
Pride, all right, that's one of them.
Being
what is it?
Being
okay.
Self.
Anger.
Anger.
Resentment.
Fear.
Well, these are all good, but guess what? I've got things different. So let's get started on it. I want you to listen to something that John Piper said. The greatest enemy of hunger for God is not poison, but Pavlova. He said apple pie because that's in America, but I translated it into Australia. He said, it's not the banquet of the wicked that dulls our appetite for heaven, but the endless nibbling at the table of the world. It's not the X-rated video, but the primetime dribble of triviality that we drink at every night that dulls our desire for God. Simply stated, it's not the big things that cause us not to follow Christ, but it's the little things that we do every single day that cause us not to be able to follow Christ as close as we like. So I think Piper was right. So what is it that we do most every day? Well, for those of us who work, you work. For others, others have houses and property and things and possessions that they focus on every day. Others have hobbies that take a lot of time. How many has a hobby that can take a lot of your time? And then some have families that take a vast majority of your time. Well, is there anything wrong with focusing on jobs and priorities? I mean, properties and possessions and hobbies and families? Is there anything wrong with focusing on those things? You see, the truth of the matter, all of those things are God's blessings to us. Everybody would agree, right? But sometimes we get so focused on the blessings, we lose sight of the one giving the blessing. And it's that focus, focusing on the blessings, that holds us back from following as closely as we should. Could it be sometimes that these things that we have and that we do and that we are becomes idols in our lives that redirect us from God? Is it possible? We're going to explore some of that today. Go with me to Luke chapter 14. Before we get started, let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you have challenged me all week long about this. Father, I don't want to just get up here and talk and ramble on. But Father, we, as we deal with these principles, help us to learn something, me particularly, to where we can more closely follow Jesus. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus had just sat down for a meal, and as he was watching, then he noticed that all the guests were pretty well-to-do guests, and then he made some comments about, listen, it'd be better to invite the poor and the lame and the needy in to where your rewards will be in heaven rather than here on earth. And then a man responds in verse 15, blessed is everyone who will eat bread at the kingdom of God. But that phrase leads us to a story that Jesus told. Now, why does Jesus tell stories and parables? So we can understand them. He generally tells a story to illustrate a deeper point. Okay, so we're going to look at this parable in Luke chapter 14, verses 16 through 21. But he said to him, a man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a field and I must go out and see it. So please have me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. And I need to go examine them. Please, therefore, have me excused. Another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I can't come. So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Again, Jesus tells a story to prove a point. So let's summarize real quickly. A man had a banquet. He invited many people. When everything was ready, everyone made excuses. I had never seen this before. Look at verse number 18. But they all alike began to make excuses. So everyone that was invited made an excuse not to come. How do you think the man who made the banquet would feel? Not very good. But Jesus chose to define three excuses that represents the whole. Okay? First, a man bought a field and had to check out his purchase. He asked to be excused. Second, one man had purchased some oxen. He had to go out and test them. So he was asked to be excused. And one man got married, so he didn't even ask to be excused. He just said, I can't make it. I want to ask some questions. First, who would ever buy a piece of land without looking at it? Would you ever buy a piece of land without first looking at it? Why didn't he check it out before he bought it? So this is a pure excuse, all right? Secondly, who would buy some working animals without first testing them to see if they could work? So what's he doing? He's just making an excuse. Thirdly, one man got married and he no longer had a desire to show up at the banquet. He was honest. And the weaknesses of these excuses were not lost upon the person who made the banquet. Look at verse 21. Then the master of the house became angry. I would have too. He became angry and said to the servant, go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and crippled and blind and lame. Verse 22. And the servant said, sir, what you commanded has been done, and still there is room. And the master said to the servant, go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. He wanted a full bunch of people coming to his banquet. Now listen closely to his next comment if you want to hear what's going on with him. Verse 24, for I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet. Why? Because of excuses. How many of us use excuses sometimes for not really following close to Jesus? What do you think? You see, this man, whoever he was, who made this banquet, and a lot of people said, we're no longer interested in showing up. And the result was expected. Everyone that was distracted never had a bite of the banquet. So what does this have to do with us? Firstly, for those of us who are Christians, God has prepared a wonderful blessing for those who will make him a priority. Let me say this again. God has prepared a wonderful blessing for those who will make him a priority. And I'm going to give you a verse of scripture to support that. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Jesus is speaking. He says this, and you can quote it. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. But what's first, folks? Everything is ours if we will seek him first, right? Do we seek him first? Or are there distractions? Are there other things that become a priority where we no longer seek him first? That's the question I want all of us to ask ourselves today. Oh, what happens, according to this verse in Matthew, if we don't seek him first, what happens to the things? It doesn't really say, Ken, but the assumption is they're not yours. So seek him first. The blessings are there. If he is not first, God is no longer obligated. Is that a pretty good summary? Okay. So what's distracting us from enjoying God's best for us? We're going to go back to our story and we're going to look at the three excuses. I want you to stay with me. First, one man purchased a field, and this wonderful possession kept him from experiencing God's blessings. Folks, how many times do our houses, our properties, our cars, our possessions become such a priority that we make God second place? Is it fair to say that happens sometimes? Is it fair to say sometimes that happens regularly? I think so. Now, please keep in mind, the reason I'm talking about this today is because we're probably all in the same boat. We all want to follow closely with Jesus, and we want to know how to follow more closely to Him. So we're simply looking at some excuses that all of us use that will keep us from experiencing our best with the Lord, okay? And I'm going to get with myself publicly here in just a second, okay? But hang on, we'll get to that in a minute. Now, after that disclaimer, it's well known that affluent people have a difficult time following close to God. And we see that regularly in Australia. And you can see it throughout the world. When a society gets very affluent or wealthy, they no longer sense a need for God. So what happens? Their possessions and their wealth distracts them from God. Now, what we have to do is make a decision in our own life whether that happens to us. It's a good question to ask ourselves, don't you think? Second excuse. One man purchased some ox so that he could use them to work. Ken, why would you purchase 5 yoke of oxen? Yeah, to work. So the guy's basically buying some equipment, some tools, to where he can do his work to provide for his family, right? I mean, this is how he does his work. So he's bought these oxen, so we can compare this to his work. So what's happening? His work is keeping him from the banquet. Folks, how often do we allow our work or our businesses to keep us away from God's best? Well, what's wrong with hard work? Well, the Apostle Paul even said, if you don't work, you don't eat. All right, you know, it's just clear. But sometimes we become so obsessed with our occupation that God gets second best. Remember what he said? Seek ye what? And if we make him first, then? But then we get it reversed, don't we? We begin focusing on the occupation rather than him. So we're focusing on the blessing rather than the blesser. And it doesn't work that way. There was a time in my life just a few years ago that things got a little crazy for me. I know I'm kind of crazy most of the time anyway. But I was pastoring this church, I was working in aged care, I was doing a university degree, raising a Labrador, pursuing my hobby, photography. What's that? I'm going to throw that in, and looking after my family. That was in the notes. I had to say it. I was going to make that. But all these different things, family, occupation, education, ministry, all these things were so occupying my one-track mind, and believe me, I'm a one-track thinker. I don't do multitasking well. Julie says amen. But all these things were so occupying my mind, it was driving me crazy, and I was doing nothing right. So I decided, enough. When I turn 60 years old, I'm going to put some strategies in place to start slowing down a little bit. And guess what? When I hit 60, I did that. I was even recording once a week at Rhema. I gave that a miss. There's a few things I put aside. Praise the Lord, I finished my degree at University of Tasmania. I kept my wife, too. And sometimes it's hard for her to put up with me, Ken. But the truth is, I had to put some strategies in place to start slowing, cutting some things, because I didn't even have time for quiet time with the Lord for me. Sometimes we can get so involved in our lives. Let me tell you this story. When I was in Bible college, we heard that one of the best places, one of the worst places for people to backslide is Bible college. You know why? You're so busy studying for a test or a paper, you don't have time to study for you. So that personal relationship is gone because you're doing it for academics, not for relationship. And that so often happens in our own lives, folks. We get so busy because we know we're supposed to work, we're supposed to look after our family, we're supposed to do this and this and this and this, that we get so busy that God standing over said, I miss my time with you. Oh, God, I'll be there in just a bit. Let me get finished with the blessings you give me, okay? And I'll be back. You see the point? And we make that as an excuse. What happened to those who made excuses? They didn't get one bite. And in everybody's sight, they were doing what was right. In God's eyes, he's sitting there, I miss my time with you. So folks, do we really want to follow close to Jesus? Then we need to make sure that our possessions don't get in the way. We need to make sure that our occupation doesn't get in the way. But there's a third one. The third excuse is one man got married and refused to come to the blessing. Now this might be a little sensitive for, I think it would be for everybody. Whether it's a husband, wife, mother, father, children, sometimes family can get in the way of experiencing God's blessing. There are untold numbers of husbands and wives who have a spouse that holds them back from the close relationship with God that they desire. We know that to be a fact. This may even apply to fathers, mothers, children that so dominate everything that you don't have time for God. But I'm looking after my family. But your family is a blessing. Don't lose sight of the blesser. Because it's through him we receive our strength, to where we could take care of all these other places. Amen? So please, the Lord's made a banquet table. He's placed the banquet for Christians. Listen, he's put a banquet together for us, a banquet of blessings, if we'll just take time to come up to the table and feast. Let's not make the excuses, Lord, I got to go do this and this and this and this. Oh, Lord, I'm so busy in my job. I'm doing this and this and this and this. Or, Lord, I'm so chasing after my family. I can't serve you, but I'll be back to you. You see, all of these things we've talked about are God's blessings for us. Our gifts, our talents, our families are all God's blessings for us. They're part of the overflow. But let's make sure that we don't so focus on these things that we forget who gave them. Now, self-confession. I'm going to add one to the scripture, so this is Tony's interpretation. This is not from scripture. Sometimes our hobbies get in the way. There's a lot of people who raised their hand and said they had a hobby. Everybody here can tell you what my hobby is, right? I'm a photographer. I enjoy photography. It can take a lot of time. Let me tell you a story. How many knows Dr. Charles Stanley? He's the pastor of First Baptist Atlanta. Very noted author, pastor, speaker, godly man. Been in it for years and years and years. He had a hobby called photography. He was a really good top-end landscape photographer. And he was enjoying that. That's his getaway, his time to get in nature, to enjoy God's creation. But it became so much, God convicted him of it, and he had to walk away from the craft. Why? It had become an idol before God. He eventually came back after he put some strategies in place to make sure it would no longer become a priority. And all of us who have hobbies know just how much hobbies can dominate our time, right? I can hear all the wives saying, amen.
I have hobbies too, you know.
You took the words right out of my mouth. They most certainly do. But I said all that to say this, folks. If we really want to follow close to Jesus, let's be cautious, okay? Let's make sure that the things that we have don't get in the way. Let's make sure that our work, our occupation. You ever heard of a workaholic? Workaholics. Well, I don't have to tell the story about that. You know the stories. Can become so obsessed with their work that nothing else even matters, particularly for a Christian. We can lose sight of our relationship because of our work. Thirdly, sometimes family can become our dominant focus. All of these things are God's blessings on us. But let's make sure we look past them to see the hand of the blesser. So what do? Quote that verse from Matthew 6. Seek you first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be given. I'll tell you what, let's do. Let's go back there real quick. Here I was trying to quote it from memory and I messed it up. Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Say that with me. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So, folks, do we want the blessings of God? Then we've got to seek him first. And when we seek him first, then everything else will line up. I'm done. Still love me?
That's a top message, Tony.
Yeah. Thank you. But like I said before, I've had to wear this one all week and it's not been fun. But folks, if we really do want to get close to the Lord and follow closely, then we have to make Him the priority. I've got to be cautious with my photography, Bob. And everybody has their things they've got to be cautious with because they will dominate everything else. Yes, we're supposed to focus on our families. And yes, we're supposed to focus on our work, because if we don't work, we won't eat, according to Paul. Yes, we have to focus on the things we had. I had to replace a battery because my battery went dead in my car this week. So, but you got to do those things at the moment and get them fixed. But folks, don't let them be obsessive. Amen? Let our obsession be Jesus Christ. And when He's a priority, everything else comes in order. Let's pray. Father, I thank You, Lord, for Your blessings. Lord, You have done so much for us. It's incredible. It's incredible what You've done. And we praise You and honor You for all that You've done for us. But having said that, may we not lose focus of You. And as we follow Christ, let's follow Him so closely that we can say as Paul, count everything else as second best according to You. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Please stand. And hopefully fittingly, turn your eyes upon